Hello,
Blog Talk Radio.
Louis Strong bringing you Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. Welcome again. I'm happy to be speaking with you. Last week I did the show, for those of you who listened, some 2,000 of you, mostly on the archive. I did the show from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where I had an exciting time being a tourist. We're into the summer season, so I guess I'm into my traveling season. I'm doing tonight's show from Key West, where I should be. This is my home. But I'm leaving Thursday for Europe for 7 weeks. I'm going to be in Italy, Greece for quite a while, and France. And I plan on doing my show from there. You will be able to hear this show next week from Novara, Italy, and the following week from Athens, Greece, and then Santorini and Armagos, Greece, and finally Courmayeur, which is in Italy in the Alps, and also from Chamonix in France, which is in the Alps. I hope all this works, by the way. Washington, D.C. worked. I assume tonight's working. And it'll be exciting, so join me, because I'm going to share with you some of my experiences on the trip besides talking with you about the news of the day. I want to start with something that bothers me tonight very much. It's just been announced in the last 2 hours that our House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., those Republican brave guys, they're men who look down on women, had an abortion vote today. You heard me, an abortion vote. And they voted to ban abortions after 22 weeks. Now, they forget. They forget that in Roe v. Wade, 30, 35 years ago, the United States Supreme Court said you can't do this. But these are Republican obstructionists. These are old men, basically from the South. And they're trying to tell the women of America, and I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, you women, I gotta believe you got your dander up over an issue like this. They're trying to tell you how you deal with your body and your reproductive rights. You know, let's talk about their penises. Let's talk about their prostates. Let's talk about taking their testicles off, perhaps. Maybe, you know, that may rile them up a bit. But they have no business doing what they're doing, and they did it again. They had this anti-abortion vote. It's going nowhere. It's just like they voted 37 or 38 times to repeal Obamacare. The Senate will never pass it because it's Democratic. And if the Senate did, Obama would never sign such a bill involving abortion. So, again, it's a sad day. You people should be upset. You should be pissed off. Excuse me, pissed off, I'll say it again, and I'll tell you why. They're wasting your time and your money in Washington. We are in deep economic straits. We still are not out of this recession, though we're creeping out of it. We need jobs. We need a better economy, and they don't spend their time dealing with these issues. They deal with things like your body, ladies, abortion rights. Okay, let's move on to a happier thing, and today is a happier day. I'm going to talk about something that's going to warm your heart. I'm talking about hand transplants on children. Boston Children's Hospital announced today that they are going to provide 8 hand transplants to children who don't have hands. Isn't that wild? It's a new program. This is free of charge. They want to see how it works. We've had so far with adults about 50 successful hand transplants. They believe it can be done with children. So they're going to first take children with no hands, and see if they can give them one hand. They believe they can. They'll do the surgery, the follow-ups, and everything else free of charge. Children from all over the world will participate in this program. And they will, in some instances, look at children who have one hand, but not a second. I had an experience 7 or 8 years ago. A woman came to see me, and she brought her beautiful 2-year-old daughter with her, a cute blonde. Girl was lovely. She only had one hand. The other arm was was missing. From the elbow down, there was nothing. Turns out these people were from Chernobyl, that area. And you recall what happened. This was in Russia, what happened several many years ago. There was a radiation leak at a nuclear plant of some kind. And it just so happened the mother wasn't there at the time, but her future husband was 14 miles away working in a village. Medical science has established that the radiation did not affect the reproduction of a child or the production of a child by the woman. It had to do with the man. And what it did with the males was affected their semen-making ability. And this girl that the mother brought to me with one arm wasn't the only one this happened to. There were a number of them, again, because it screwed up the male semen, and this is what caused the defect in the child. I looked high and low. I dealt with people in England. I dealt with people in Rome. I tried to put this thing together to make a lawsuit for this child, but it was a futile attempt. You just couldn't do it. It was all screwed up and too far afield from a legal perspective. This girl is going to have an opportunity today. She may be 7 or 8 years old now, and she will have a chance. So that's a nice thing that happened today. Moving on, let's talk now about Alexander Snowden. You remember, you know Alexander Snowden. He's the great 20—not Alexander, I'm sorry—Edward Snowden. He's the 29-year-old who took off for Hong Kong and blew the works on some intelligence information he had concerning the American government, where our government is keeping track of everyone's telephone calls by numbers and keeping track of all our emails, okay? This, my friends, is a major intrusion on your rights. They can say, oh, we are in an era of war, so to speak, and a war with terrorists, and we've got to do this to protect ourselves. And because of that, we have to minimize our respect for our liberties. I say that's a crock. And I'm going to tell you why it's a crock. And I know a lot of people don't agree with me on this. It's a crock, my friends, because nobody told us they were doing this. No one told us. Our government's been doing this for several years. No one mentions it. When you're going to minimize our freedoms, I think our government has an obligation to tell us, to bring it before Congress and have something like this debated. But nobody debated it. Nobody knew about it. And most of your congressional people, House of Representatives and Senators, they didn't know about it either. But when they found out about it, they said, oh, we must arrest this man. He revealed secrets. Well, I think he's a semi-hero, not a total hero. I think he's a semi-hero. For this reason, he brought this situation to our attention. I believe this. Listen to what I'm going to say. To protect freedom, we must safeguard our freedoms. I repeat, to protect freedom, we must safeguard our freedoms. I didn't read this anywhere. This is Lewis's compilation. To protect freedom, we must safeguard our freedoms. On an issue like this, where we're going to take back from our individual freedoms our privacy, our right of privacy. You don't want anybody to know if you've got a girlfriend or you're a homosexual or anything else. And that's how these things come to everyone's attention, via keeping track of these telephone numbers and then reading your emails. Oh, my God. Anyhow, I think this is surveillance out of control, absolutely out of control. Let me tell you something else. They say, well, oh, nothing wrong with this because the courts have to approve the search warrants to look at this information, to obtain this information. Another crock. I'll tell you why. It's a special court set up, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Short name FISA, F-I-S-A court. They've been in business 34 years. They've had over 30,000 applications for search warrants because you must go before a judge and say, I want a search warrant, Your Honor, to do this because I think these people or this guy or this woman, they've done these bad things, and this is the proof we have that makes us suspect them. They've had over 30,000 applications. You know how many they turned down? 11. Only 11 out of 30,000, which says to me that they're rubber stamping everything they like their jobs, and they're not doing it the right way. Okay, that's the story on our friend Edward Snowden, how Lewis feels about it. Moving on now, we're going to go to, what have I got next on my list of things I'm upset about this week? Oh, Syria. Syria is an absolute danger to us. We have been in, what, two wars, three wars in the last 10 years? We don't belong in the Middle East. We don't belong in these wars. People like Senator McCain, the old guys in the Senate again, I don't understand these Republicans. They're the ones who want to cut off women's reproductive rights and everything else about their bodies, and at the same time, they want us to go to war. They want us with our boots, our men, over there in Syria fighting on the side of the rebels. Well, the rebels. Who are the rebels? The rebels, my friends, there are 18,000 different groups of rebels. I'm exaggerating, but there's more than one group of rebels. Which one do you back? Which one do you support? They don't talk to each other, these people. They hate each other. Both sides, whether they're the rebels or Assad's government, they behead people when they capture them. You heard me. They behead them. They cut their heads off. And do you know that Assad's people constantly rape 2 to 10-year-old children of the other side? They rape these kids, male and female. And on the other side, the rebel side, one of the leaders of one of the rebel sects about 2 weeks ago, there was a film of this. It was all over the internet. Millions of people had to see this. He cut the heart of one of Assad's soldiers. Right on the video, my friends, with hundreds of people around him shouting, "God is great," in whatever the Syrian language. He not only cut this guy's heart out, he ate it in front of the camera. He ate the person's heart. Now, who do we help? These people are crazy. They've been crazy for thousands of years. Why do we even get involved with them? Let them kill each other. It's not our business. We're not going to bring democracy to Syria. They don't want democracy. Let them live the way they want to live. It is none of our business. And what's going to happen the first time I ask you this question? We send American soldiers over, and an American soldier is beheaded. We'll go crazy in this country, all right? We're going to get involved in a land war that is none of our business, and we shouldn't be involved in. Let's go even a step further. We are supporting the rebels by talk. Russia and China are supporting Assad's government. This will be the first time, because we've already said in the last few days, the president said he's going to send over some guns and ammunition to help the rebels, and we're going to have a space for a no-fly space. This is the first time we have ever in modern history gone into a situation where we are directly opposing the Russians. It has been avoided since the end of World War II. Now they're on the other side with the Chinese, who are supplying planes, guns, and ammunition. We're going to be on the other side. In the end, all of us could be involved in this mess. It's none of our business. Our President Obama this week was in Ireland at the, what they call this conference, G8 meeting, where they were talking about economic issues. And he and Putin met. Putin and he met and they talked. They agreed on everything except Syria. And they agreed, they couldn't agree, and they just leave it sitting for the time being. This is a bad spot. I'll tell you something. If people like, and I respect Senator McCain for what he did 50 years ago, but that was 50 years ago. If he's so interested in us going over to help the people in Syria, I want him to be the first one to land there to fight on behalf of the Syrians. Let's see what happens. Okay, moving on now from Syria, we are going to go to Venezuela. I love this. About 4 weeks ago, I talked on this show, and I did on my television show also, about an economic problem that Venezuela has. They don't have enough toilet paper. Would you believe Venezuela doesn't have enough toilet paper? It sounds ludicrous. It's funny, but it's a serious problem. They use 125 million rolls a month. I didn't think there was that much toilet paper, okay? They run out of toilet paper. They're about 40 million rolls a month short. One woman said it took her 2 weeks to find toilet paper. She was going from one store to another. This is a problem. It was announced in the past couple of days that Kimberly-Clark Corporation, now they deal with paper, an American corporation, they make toilet paper. They're going to invest in Venezuela $37.1 million for the plan to make toilet paper. Good for Kimberly-Clark, good for Venezuela, but it's going to take about a year for the plant to get up and running. In the meantime, these people still have a toilet paper shortage problem. You know, we talk about pedophilia. We speak of the Catholic Church. We talk about the priests in the last 30 years who have done wrong with young boys. We talk about the church cover-up of this, and it's a sad situation. I'm a Catholic, and it puts me to shame. It's a sad situation. It's a blight on the Catholic Church in this country. But let's talk about Buddhists now. Buddhist monks, you know, those guys that walk around with either no hair or a bald spot in the robes, they're holier than thou also, just like the Catholic priests. Well, the Buddhist monks in Thailand are getting involved in what has been described as by their church or religious group, inappropriate behavior. What's inappropriate behavior by Buddhist monks in Thailand? I'm smiling and laughing a little bit as I talk about this because you won't believe it. They wear stylish aviator eyeglasses. They buy luxury brand travel bags. They wear modern wireless headphones. They consume alcohol. They extort the members of their religion. They drive sport cars. And they have sex with women. You heard me, sex with women. Now, I guess it happens everywhere. I don't know what's happened to religion. I'm not holier than thou. But the Catholic Church screwed up. Looks like Buddhism is screwing up. What's wrong? I don't know. I'm just throwing out and making you aware of something I discovered. Now we're going to go to sequestration, all right? I was in Washington last week. I did this show from our nation's capital last week. I went to all the memorials, and I was very proud that thousands of people every day go to see these things. I'm talking about, you know, air and space. I'm talking about natural history. I'm referring to the Holocaust, all these things, American history, Smithsonian, these are all separate buildings. It takes you 4 or 5 hours. You don't see the whole thing. It's amazing. And our country does not charge us to go or anyone to go and watch this stuff and look at it. And it's an education. It's a family thing. It's very good. Our president recently went to Africa. All right. His trip to Africa, Obama's trip to Africa, the Washington Post, say a very reliable paper, cost this country $60 million to $100 million because he's got to have a lot of cars. I'm not knocking it. The president goes somewhere, he's got to have all these things, all these cars, all these people, all this protection, all the staff. But it cost us $60 to $100 million in tax money, and I think here, can rely on the Washington Post and their figures. What I'm upset about, while I was in Washington, I wanted to go on a tour of the White House. And I'm sure a lot of other people and families wanted to go. And we couldn't go. And the reason we couldn't go was because of sequestration. That's one of the things that had to be cut back because of sequestration. And it sounds sort of stupid, doesn't it? Because I can't believe to keep the doors of the White House open, our house, to the public would cost anywhere near $60 million or $100 million. It can't cost that money if they cut it out. At the same time, I'm aggravated and guiled and galled because if you recall, when sequestration went into effect, I think it started on a Monday, the congressmen of the United States were all upset because they had to go home on Friday. And because of sequestration, air controllers were cut back. The planes were 3 or 4 hours late, some days a whole day late. So on Thursday night, the Congress of the United States got together and voted to do away with sequestration as it applied to the airline industry. And I'm ashamed to say the president signed it. He was wrong. One suffers, everyone suffers, as far as I am concerned. Okay, now we're going to move on to Florida. This is a great state here. If anything crazy is going to happen, they used to say it happened in California all the time. No more. Florida it happens in. Now, we have a strange governor here. He's tough. He's just tough. That's all I can tell you. Scott's a tough man. He was a tough businessman. Some people question his ethics. He had a checkered career before he became governor. He's never indicted or anything, but he had a checkered career. It is well known. It's been well reported. Well, he signed the law yesterday, okay? A new law here in Florida that makes it, now follow what I'm going to say, marijuana, a pot pipe, nothing else, just the pipe. We're not talking about the bongs or anything else involved with pot smoking. The pipe, a pot pipe. Anyone who's arrested twice for buying or selling or having in their possession a pot pipe, they're little things. You know, not all of us are without sin. I did this 30, 40 years ago. I haven't done it in that long. But most people of my generation smoke. A lot of people smoke today. I'm not saying it's right. It's done in this country. If it wasn't so popular, think of the several states in the last 6 months that have approved the use of marijuana for recreational purposes. While the world's going one way, Scott's going another in Florida. He said, and he calls this, by the way, the bong bill, that if you do it twice, you lose your right to vote. Now, that's absolutely terrible. You lose your right to vote. Now, you can go out and beat somebody else. You can rape a woman. You can do all these other things. You don't lose your right to vote. But if you get involved, get caught with a pot pipe, those little things about 2 inches long, you can use a corn pipe, by the way. That's not included in the bill. But if you get caught with a pot pipe, twice you lose your right to vote. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the thinking. Something's wrong with this country when things like this happen. Let me tell you, too, in the state of Florida, Walgreens, they're my drugstore. Walgreens, a very popular drugstore. There is a drug called OxyContin. Okay, big-time drug today. I don't even know what the hell it looks like or how it's used, but it's big. Pills of some kind to make people high. A lot of people are on OxyContin and are addicted to the drug. Well, Walgreens, because they were selling these things, okay, and not getting proper documentation, prescriptions, or what have you, just got fined by the state of Florida $80 million. A lot of money. Walgreens didn't mind paying $80 million. Do you want to know why? Walgreens, this is wild. Their quarterly earnings, not profit, earnings, gross earnings, amount to $18.65 billion every month. $18.65 billion. They can afford to pay an $80 million fine. What bothers me is, why weren't the people in Walgreens who were responsible for this, there has to be somebody responsible, why weren't they arrested? Why wasn't Walgreens criminally charged? Why was no one? Are they too big to prosecute just like the banks? Are they too big to prosecute just like the banks again? What's going on in this country? The big guys get away with it. The Walgreens, the banks, but the little people, you get caught twice with a pot pipe, you lose your right to vote. Okay, that takes care of him. Now I want to go to my friend Daryl Issa. He's no friend of mine. I've never met him. I have talked about him on this show. I have talked about him on my television show repeatedly. This guy's a bad guy. He's a Republican. He's been in the House of Representatives. He's out of California. Oh, probably 10, 12 years. He is now chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight in the Congress, the one that's involved with Benghazi and the IRS problems. This guy's nuts. And this guy's got a checkered background, too. He was arrested twice in his life at different times for stealing cars. The charges were dropped each time. He never graduated from high school. He got a GED. He did go back. He got his GED. He did get into college, got a degree. Eventually went in the service through officers' candidate school. He made a ton of money with, you know, when you, if somebody tries to break into your car or you press the wrong thumb thing or you close your door wrong, you hear all this noise and you're embarrassed. You look around, you think everybody's going to come, the cops are going to come and arrest you. The security device on an automobile makes all that noise. His company made it. He made millions of dollars. He is purported to be worth $450 million. He's either the first or second richest man in Congress. The reason I'm bringing this up in all this background is we should know, everyone should know, that he's the guy that's keeping this Benghazi thing going. How long have we been hearing about Benghazi? Since November? How long has he been saying the president slept all night? He wasn't awake while this was going on. What did Hillary do? And this is yesterday's news now. It's past. Now he's into the IRS thing. And this IRS thing bothers me, too. You can't have the Internal Revenue Service on your back. It's not healthy. It's not right. But not only the Democrats, but members of his own party say there's nothing there and have told him to stop, get off of this kick, and he stays with it. He doesn't give it up. This guy's in for self-gratification, self-glorification. He's having his 15 minutes. People are going to remember it someday. Okay, now we're going to go to Iran. Iran, they just elected a new president this week. A fellow by the name of, if I pronounce it correctly, Hassan Rouhani. He's supposed to be a progressive. He's supposed to be a moderate. He's not going to be like that nut they've had for the last two terms over there. And the whole world hopes, as well as the United States, that there's going to be a thaw in the relationships that Iran has with every other country, including ours. I hope so. Which now brings me to, where am I? That brings me, I got to go quickly. I don't want to miss this. I skipped it. Oh, my God. I want to talk about the Catholic Church quickly. Last week, the Catholic Church came out with a new program. It's called the New Evangelicization. What's going to happen is this. The Catholic Church is now telling us we must go out as Catholic and go door to door like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and sell Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. It's being pushed in Washington, D.C. by Archbishop Donald Wuerl, W-U-E-R-L. He is purported to be the Vatican's point man for this here. They are looking, and I quote, for a tsunami of secularism. The Pope supports this program. I think it sucks. Why are, after all these years, 2,000 years plus of Christianity, are we changing how we do our religion? I can tell you, I remember when the Mass went from Latin to English, it bothered me. When they told me I had to sing in church, and I had never sung before, it bothered me. Religion should be private, especially my religion. It's between me and God. It's between you and your God. It's a personal thing. And everybody's got their own religion and should practice it their own way. I think what the Catholic Church is trying to do is going to offend other religions, offend other people. I think no good comes from it. I'm not worried about offending people. I just think no good comes from it. We each deal with God, if we deal with God, in our own private way, and it's nobody else's business, and we should not go out and try to sell our God to someone else. Okay, the show's coming to an end in about 40 seconds. I thank you for joining me tonight. Next week, listen to me. I'm going to be in Novara, Italy, which is northern Italy. And the following week, I think I'm going to be in Athens, and I'm going to end up in the Alps at some point, in France. And some of the Greek islands. I'll look forward to talking with you at that time. Thank you again for joining me tonight. This is the end of this show.